Morning. Amen. Well, we're going to end this year. We ended on a very, very sad note. Arsenal was beaten 5-1 last night. Shut up. You're not supposed to clap, Marine. Come on. All right. You're supposed to moan with those that weep with those that weep. Desmond is going, but rejoice with those that rejoice. Okay. All right. I'll rejoice with you guys, and then I'll weep a little later. I wept last night. I didn't watch the game. I didn't want to watch the game. I mean, it's why watch something when you know you're going to get hammered? So I decided to sleep. We're so glad to have all of you here this morning. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer before we do anything else. All right? Let's just look to Him in prayer. So we are coming to the end of the year, Father God, and I'd like to bear our hearts before you. Ask that you would drop in something into our hearts today so that we can end it on a good note. Your word is good. Word of the Lord is good for us. We are open to correction. We are open to rebuke. We have been exhorted time and again, but we are open to whatever you want to say to us. Because we are your children, called out from the world to be different. You want to minister to us like a father ministers to a child. So, Lord, we thank you that we come into the presence of a loving, compassionate God, a God who knows everything about us. There is nothing hidden in your sight, Lord. All of us is exposed to you. You know our hearts. And yet, Lord, you do not mark us according to our sin. For if you did, who can stand before you, David said. But there is forgiveness with you. There is cleansing. There is always a new beginning. For this we give you thanks. Bless us together as we open the word. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's interesting. This morning I was just thinking about it. When Jesus begins to say to the disciples very often, when they come to a village, he never tells them to go back to that village. He always tells them, let's go to the next one. Let's go to the next one. Because we must always be advancing. Amen? Not going back to the old villages that we came from. So as we come to a new year, you know, I pray that the Lord would help us to just keep advancing in spite of everything else. Don't look over your shoulders. It's not going to help anyway. So this morning, I'm going to speak on something. If you thought, Jonathan, you know, was preaching and he said the message is going to be a little bit hard. If you thought his message was hard, then this morning you're going to think my message is terrible, okay? But I'd like to speak to you about facing the boss. Facing the boss. I'm going to take my scripture from Luke chapter 16 and verse 1 and verse 2, where Jesus is giving a parable. But the way he says it, he doesn't say it's a parable. He just says that there was a certain man. Now, when he speaks a parable, it says, and Jesus spoke a parable to them. But this one, he doesn't say that it was a parable. He's just giving an example of what he had seen. This is what it says, all right? Let me just read it and you can follow with me. Now, Jesus was also saying to the disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a manager of his estate. And accusations against this man were brought to him that this man was squandering his master's possessions. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an accounting of your management of my affairs. For you can no longer be my manager. You can no longer be my manager. And now, of course, he goes on to tell what the manager does. He goes and he cheats here, cheats there. That's not the point. The point I want to bring across to you this morning is that God gives us a solemn warning as to a time period or the way we handle our different things that he has given to us. How we handle it will determine whether he would still allow us to handle it or whether he would take it away from us. He holds us accountable. So this morning I want to talk about accountability on facing the boss. I was thinking about a lot of the young people today do not want to work for anyone. They want to be their own bosses. And I think one of the reasons is because they do not want to give an account to anyone. Because if you work for somebody, at the end of the day, you have to give an account. And one of the main reasons is because when they were kids, a lot of the kids have never been made accountable for anything. So they play with toys and then they get up and they leave the toys there and the maid comes or the mother or the father comes and picks up the toys after them. When they sit at a meal and they finish the meal, they just stand up and walk away. All of us were taught as little children, you wash your own plates. You wash your own cups. Come on. All right. I'm hearing from all the retirees. Amen. Amen. All right. But you wash your own thing. You don't take, all right, wash your plate. They take it and go put it in the sink, expecting somebody else to do it. Now, it never happened in my home. You know, it's funny because of what we have been taught when we go overseas. One of the first things we do when we enter a person's home is we take off our shoes. And they go, no, here we don't. Why are you taking off your shoes? You only take off your shoes when you go into the bedroom. Okay. So another thing is, after eating, I immediately take my plate to the sink to wash it. What are you doing? You know? And of course, the man of the house gets very upset. He says, Pastor David, if you do this, then my wife will expect me also to do this. That kind of thing. But just little things like this, to the place where our young kids, when they are held accountable, get very upset. This can overflow even into the church. When we hold people accountable, they get very upset. So they say, I'm not going to go to that church because, you know, why they ask me like this? Why they ask me this question? Why they ask me that question? But you know what? We are meant to be accountable. Let me give you that, just some of the scriptures up there. Can we get some scriptures up there? I think I put quite a few. All right. Look at some of the scriptures there. There are many scriptures. Everybody saw that one? Red, let's go to the next one quickly, because I'm trying to finish fast like Jonathan. Okay, yeah. I saw the dead, great, small. Books were open, another book was open. In the book of life, the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. In other words, accountability. All right, let's go on to another one more. Romans. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world become accountable to God. Okay, next one. Is there any more? So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, there are certain things that I wrote down, just a few of them, that I think God will hold us accountable for. It is important for us to understand as we end the year. Every time I finish a service on a Sunday, on Monday is my accountable day, which means that I now get before God and give him an account of whether I did well or whether I did badly, and I will say, Lord, I'm sorry, I should have done this or I should have done that. We must all give an account of ourselves before God. Amen? Now, here are a few of the things I feel that the Lord wants us to give an account of ourselves. Number one is faith. Is our faith. Now, I speak to pastors' conferences, and I was sharing with the board this morning. One of the reasons why I do go and share with pastors is because I'm already old, and I have got experience as a associate pastor, as a youth pastor, and as a pioneer pastor and senior pastor. So because of these years of experiences, I feel I've got something that I could share with them so that they don't make the same mistakes that I made, and also to help them in their journey from where they are at, whether they are pioneer or youth or wherever they are, to get to where God wants them to be. Amen? And in the sharing of them, one of the things I usually would say is this. As pastors, no one holds us accountable for the time we spend. Right? Because we've got all the time on we are free most of the time. Of course, all of you already know, pastor's job is very easy. They just preach on a Sunday. Are you going, yeah, that's what we thought. There's a lot of things that go on in the pastor's life. But the pastor has to hold himself accountable for the time and everything that he does in those times. It is very easy for me as a pastor to become very, very lazy. Some pastors die many pastors die because of stress. When I went for a medical checkup, the doctor, checked me, everything. And then he asked me, are you a pastor? And I said, yes. He says, that's why I want to put you on a stress test. Before that, didn't have to have a stress test. The moment he found out I was a pastor, he said, put you on a stress test. Then when I asked him why, he said, on the top of my list, this is a cardiologist, all right, specialist. Says, on the top of the list, the number one is pastor. They are the most stressed out people. Really? Stressed out people. And then I found out he was my brother's board member. And I said, no wonder you think pastors are stressed out, because the guy is stressed. No, but the point is this. As pastors, we are either totally stressed out, or we can become very, very lazy because we have time on our own. And nobody watches us. We don't come and give the board an account for the time that we spend, etc. So we are held accountable. All of us are held accountable for the time that God has given to you. Now, we don't come as church people. We actually should come and ask one another to give an account as to our faith. Now, this is what the Bible says. You got the scripture up there? Listen to this one. I like this one. I like this translation. Everybody read this with me. Let's go. Exercise daily in God, loudly. No spiritual flabbiness. Please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit today and forever. In other words, how is your faith coming along? Do you read your Bible? What if we were to come to you and ask you, have you been reading your Bible? How many chapters have you been reading? Have you gone through the Bible? Do you know what that would do? It would make you a far better Christian. If we held one another accountable and ask you, you know, have you been praying? Brother, what's been happening in your life? Have you been having a regular prayer life? What's your prayer life like? When was the last time you really spent some time with God? You know, one of the disciplines that has been missing in our churches today is this. We have removed the time slot with God. Now we begin to say, oh, never mind, we just pray through the day. You know, we can pray anytime. But that time slot with God has been removed as one of the disciplines of the church. At one time, we would say you must spend at least 15 or an hour a day just with the Bible, reading and talking to God 1 hour every day, wake up in the morning or before you go to bed. Now that has been missing. And so most Christians do not have a regular devotional time with the Lord. So God holds us accountable for our spiritual life. Listen, God does not hold me accountable for your spiritual life. For your walk of faith, everybody has to be held accountable for their own faith. And so what are we going to say when God asks us? And we say, Lord, I didn't have enough time to read the Bible. I didn't have time to pray. Come on, everybody has been given the same amount of time, which means that we've got to make time to do it. So if God holds us accountable for our faith, we better be ready to give an answer to Him. Come on. Amen. All right, so I pray that if you have failed in the last year, in this past year, that you would begin to say, Lord, I understand you're going to hold me accountable for the time given to me. Now, enjoying your faith, do you enjoy your walk of faith? One of the reasons they said, you know, why the Jewish people really enjoy savor life is not so much that they have been so persecuted, but there is a statement that they have. They say, Almighty God or Jehovah God has blessed us with every gift to be enjoyed in life, and He holds us responsible for doing it. Isn't that something? God has given us everything to enjoy, and He holds us responsible for doing it. In other words, if I do not enjoy life or savor life in the way He wants me to, God's going to hold me accountable for it. So our Christian faith should be one where we really enjoy savor life, enjoy life that He has come, because Jesus comes to give us, come on, life and to give it to us. So are you enjoying life? Is your walk with God an enjoyable one? Do you know that when God created man, the first thing He did was to come and have a regular time with Adam? That was the first thing He did. He didn't create the woman first. He created relationship with Adam. He built a relationship with him. At a certain time of the day when it was cool and nice, they could come and they would sit down and talk together about life. Listen, don't get spiritual. I've said this so many times. Don't get spiritual with God. One of the worst things you could do is to get spiritual with God, because that makes God absent. Like, oh God, you know, kind of thing. Like, as if God is so far away. God is with us all of the time. He's just waiting for us to talk to Him heart to heart. For I have sought after a man after my own heart who will understand that we can sit down and have a chat and enjoy each other's company rather than a discipline that I have to endure. It should be something that I must enjoy. Come on, say amen. So he holds us accountable for our faith. Exercise yourselves unto godliness. Bodily exercise is wonderful. But the thing that will help you to be fit today and forever will be your godly exercise. Come on, amen. Huh? Amen? Somebody asked me, say, Pastor, you always look very fit. I never, the other, at our Christmas dinner, he said, you know, I never saw you so long. You look the same. I said, how long was the last time you saw me? He said, about 25 years ago. I said, you mean to say 25 years ago I looked this old? It's like, you're still fit. How do you remain fit? I said, very simple. Potato chips, Coca-Cola, sit in front of the TV every day. You will never get fit that way. So you're going, amen, yes, Lord. Okay, I heard today. Word for the coming year, yes. Potato chips, Coca-Cola, TV. Now, see, I'm shocked this morning. I'm literally shocked to see these guys with Liverpool T-shirts sitting right in the front. He has never done that. It's just to rub it in. You know, some people just like to rub salt in your wounds. There they go. While we are singing Praise the Lord, he's singing You'll Never Walk Alone. Okay. Talk about rubbing it. All right, so what? How did I get there, man? You guys distracted me. All right, so we're talking about, you know, savoring life, enjoying life, and enjoying your walk with God. So your faith, you are held accountable for your faith. Each one of us shall be held accountable for your faith. Oh, the pastor, I go to that church, they are not feeding me. You, come on, grow up. Grow up. Enough of the, when you say nobody's feeding me, you are a baby. Which means that somebody's got to change your pamper when you dirty yourself. That's why you need somebody to feed you. Come on, grow up. All right? You got to feed yourself. You are held responsible. Do you know that the Word of God holds us responsible? It says certain things God will not do for you. God will not deny your flesh for you. God will not pick up your cross for you so that you can walk a life that's free of pain. God will not renew your minds. There are certain things that we have to do ourselves. Come on, amen? God will not feed you. You've got to feed on the Word of God yourself. There are certain things God will not do. So when we do not do what God expects of us, then we are held accountable for it. If we do it for good or for bad, God will hold us accountable for it. Come on, amen? So number one was our faith. Let's go to the second one. The second one that we are going to be held accountable is family. Our family. One of the first questions God asked Cain was, where is your brother? He had just killed his brother. They were having a conversation in Genesis chapter 4. And of course, he just got jealous of what was happening in his brother's life, and he killed his brother. So God comes with the question, where's your brother? Didn't God know what happened? God himself said, the blood of your brother is crying out to me. But he asked him the question, where is your brother? And he gave a classic reply, am I my brother's keeper? And the answer is obviously yes. Come on. We are responsible for family members. When somebody in the family is suffering, we suffer with that family. We get together. That's why I say, if somebody is sick in the congregation, we pray in the same way we would pray for our mother, our brother, our sister who's got that sickness. We really sincerely pray for that person. We don't just offer up a prayer. Let's offer up a prayer. Let's say a prayer for. No, we don't. I mean, we really get a hold when one of our loved ones is really sick. We are held responsible for one another. Come on, church. Amen. When somebody is missing, we got to know why they are missing. Call them up. Don't leave it to, you know, the cell leader or the pastor or pastoral staff. That's your responsibility. No. It's everybody's responsibility. You will be surprised one day when God stands and asks you about a certain brother or a certain sister. We are held responsible. Come on, amen. This morning, I was talking to Pastor Gunnar, and he was telling me about a case. This young couple, they got married, man. I mean, they got married less than 3-4 weeks ago, right? 10 days after the wedding, man. The guy's beating her up with a hammer. Now, do you call that a responsible husband? Doesn't matter, man. You know, my kids all know this. When they were small, nobody speaks against their mother. One of the things I tell them is, you can talk, you can think that she's your mother, but remember, she's my wife. Hello? Come on. Husbands, Do you teach your children, fathers, to honor their mother? Mothers, do you teach your children to honor the father in the house? We are held responsible for the families. You want a happy family? It's not built on just the Sunday school. It does not happen because you just come to church. It happens when you go back and take responsibility for your families. This is what somebody said. Listen to this one. This is what they said. I like what they said. It's easy to dodge our responsibilities, but we cannot dodge the consequences of dodging our responsibilities. It's easy to dodge our responsibilities, but we cannot dodge the consequences of dodging our responsibilities. So we are held accountable. One day they come up to the chief priest, the only priest existing at that time. His name is Eli. And Samuel goes, God is so displeased with you because you did not look after your sons. Come on. You are responsible for the behavior of your sons. Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas are both misbehaving out there in the temple of God. They call themselves believers, but they are functioning like unbelievers. God is holding you, Eli, responsible for your sons. And God holds us responsible for our family members. Amen. He holds us responsible for their salvation as well. Holds us responsible. I thank God that my elder brother, Pastor Henry, began to pray, although, you know, he had a lot of problems with our family situation, all right? Just to let you know, some of you do not know the situation in my family. My father had two wives. I'm from the second wife, all right? He had a wife in India, and he had a wife in Malaysia. What they call in those days, the best of both worlds. Okay, kind of thing. So, and my brother, Pastor Henry, was from the first mother. And so when he brought Pastor Henry to stay in our family from the second mother, Pastor Henry was not treated well. Now, please understand, some of you believe that when we were born, you know, I was born a pastor. In a very blessed home, my father and mother had halos over their head, you know, kind of thing. No, they had horns. not halos, okay. They're unbelievers, man. What do you expect? So, you know, it treated him very badly. And so he had this grudge. And he told me one day, he says, you know, when he was about 16 years old, he had planned murder in his heart. And then when it was really bad vibes against my whole family. And then God saved him. And he began to pray for my family. And one by one, everybody got saved. Responsible. He can go with a grudge and say, I'm having nothing to do with that family. I can, you know, whatever it is. I don't want to have anything to do with family. Whatever it is. The man prayed until drug addicts like myself and my younger brother got saved. And then one by one, they all got saved. Everyone got saved in the family. Because he stood and said, I'm still responsible for their salvation. I may not love you, but I will not want to see you go to hell. Amen. I pray that over this, you know, the coming year, you will decide, no matter what we have against a family member, whatever we may feel towards them, listen, man, you don't have to like them. Just love them. See, there's a big difference between liking and loving. Loving is a decision I make. I'm going to see to your salvation. I'm going to make sure, you know, like husbands love your wives, protect them. But to like somebody is to want to spend time with them. So you don't want to spend time with certain people. You just do not like them. But you still got to love them. Can I hear an amen? Come on, man. The Bible, get real with me. It says love your enemies. It doesn't say like them. Oi. Are y'all awake? It doesn't matter. You can disagree with my theology and be wrong. Yeah, there are certain individuals that you just cannot like to be with. Am I the only person? I feel so lonely up here. You're just, all right, fine. You don't have to be with them, but at least love them, pray for them, forgive them, have no grudge against them. You know what I'm saying? You just say, all right, hi, bye, okay? See you in the sweet by and by kind of thing, all right? But we are held responsible for our family. They had discovered that some bull elephants were starting to kill a lot of, you know, destroy vegetation, kill a lot of animals. Some of the young bull elephants were doing all this stuff. And they studied and discovered that all the bull elephants that were doing this stuff actually had no fathers. The fathers were killed because of the tusk and everything. So they didn't have proper fathers. And so they were not held responsible in that sense. Because when a bull elephant has a parent, a father, dominating father who holds their children responsible, then the elephants behave. But it's when there is no responsibility, when they feel that, you know, I can do whatever I want, no accountability whatsoever, then things begin to get wild. So we are held accountable for our families. Number three, you know this one is coming, finances. We are held accountable for our finances. Now, let me just put three things up for you to help us do this, all right? Number one, let's put this up. Remember, how do I handle my finances well? First thing I've got to do is remember. What does it say? Come on, read this with me. Remember that the Lord, remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you the power to become rich. He does this because he is still faithful today to the covenant that he made with your ancestors. God entered into a covenant. Do you know when Jesus was about to go to the cross and he began to use communion, he said this, "With great desire have I desired to break this covenant with you." I mean, this is my body which is going to be broken for you. This is my blood which is going to be shed for you. And he says, man, with great delight, because the covenant is something that brings us into all that God wants for us. And he says, listen, now the problem with Israel was they forgot. He said, listen, you guys, I'm going to bless you so much. Now, this is what God said. When you become fat, don't forget me. Don't forget who made you fat. And he meant, the word fat actually meant fat in every area. Spiritual, material, physical. Okay? God wants us fat. But remember, it is me who made you fat. So remember that one of the first things we've got to do is acknowledge that God is the one who has blessed us with jobs, man. It doesn't matter whether I'm a truck driver, whether I'm, you know, picking up a garbage collector. What's so bad about being a garbage collector? Imagine if there were no garbage collectors. Huh? You know, there are so many people in servicing, you know, doing very, very kind, what we call low-paying jobs that really ought to be appreciated. I really appreciate them. I really do. I really, you know, appreciate when the garbage collectors, when they come around the house, they will always lift their hands, you know, at my area. I'll come up to say hello, hi, you know, thank you very much. Just to say thank you. Huh? Come on. We are believers. We need to function a step higher than everybody else. Amen. Like I said to you, man, I can come inside a petrol station and the guys come, they will not allow me to go take the pump, man. They will come, I don't even have to go pay that side. The guy will come, you can pay me, he puts in his card, I just give him, they'll do everything for me. Just to show them some respect. But the thing is this, you always need to remember that it is God who gives you power to get wealth. Come on, amen. Okay, the second thing we need to understand as we begin to think about coming here is reform. Reform. Now, the word reform simply means, I just looked it up in the dictionary, it says this: to make changes in something or a practice in order to improve it. So if we want to improve our lives, we've got to check on the way we have been using our finances. We've got to, some of us have got to really, I mean seriously, get some plastic surgery. Come on. You and I know how much money they charge, interest they charge on credit cards. And some live on credit cards. That plastic has to be cut in. We got to get free of debt. Come on, say amen. Get out of debt as fast as possible. I want to thank God, Pastor Lifan and I, you know, have somehow, at this time, when we finally reached 65, we finally paid off our house, which is a tremendous burden release. Tremendous burden. Now, also, we have been thinking about the church as a whole. This year, the finances of the church have been really low, You need to understand this, okay? That's why we keep encouraging you. You must tithe to the Lord. If God has blessed you, you must tithe. Do not rob God, please, for your own sake. The finances have been really low, so this year the staff decided they were not going to take an increment. And then at the end of the year, where they usually get a bonus, none of them have taken a bonus. So we have decided we're going to do certain things to try to help the church with its finances, be proper managers of the finances. One of the things is we have been supporting the mission work in Thailand for many years. We helped them build their church, we poured in finances, but the church has now become self-supporting, self-governing, self-propagating. The pastor wants to further her studies in the doctorate. We will not. So I don't feel we need to support her in that. So now they are free, and we do not have to give missions towards them anymore. Right? So that would save us something like 30,000 ringgit per year. That's 30,000 ringgit saved. The second thing we are also going to do is our Shechem home, we run two homes, one for girls, one for boys. But a number of the girls have already left, and so we're going to shift the girls over to Stephen's home, right? Two of the girls will go over, and we are shutting down one other home. That will save us about 5,000 ringgit every month. Good. All this is to manage the finances that we have in the coming year, to be more responsible with the finances. All right. Another thing we agreed on this morning as we had a little board meeting is that I will be taking a 50% pay cut. Okay. My house paid ready, ma. So I can survive on the 50%, at least for the next 6 months. We are hoping that the finances will bill, and then I want double increment. No, I'm kidding. But I will take a 50% pay cut so that we can try to consolidate our funds and use it for what is really necessary within the church. Now, what am I saying? I'm just trying to tell you this, not so that, you know, you can say, oh, Pastor, no. I'm just trying to help you to understand you need to do something drastic in order to reform so that you can have a better life yourself. Can I hear an amen? Oh, you know, when Jesus spoke to that man at the Gadarenes, he said, "What is your name?" And the demon spoke out and said, "We are Legion." There is a new demon in town, in case you don't know. It's called Mega Sale. That's a terrible demon. It's more powerful than Legion. It causes people to think that because there is a sale, 70%, I'm saving money by spending. I mean, reason with me. I've got to buy it because it is 60%, 70%. I mean, if there was no sale, you wouldn't buy, right? But that demon, man. Once you see that, I mean, it's all over. It's very bold. It flashes over supermarkets. It even comes in your mail. Comes on your phones, man. Mega sale. Lazada. Is it Lazada? Whatever. Okay. Oh, man, easy, man. You can just... Credit card, easy, buy. And he's shouting and he's screaming, reform. Be responsible. You will have to give an account for the finances you spend. It's funny how some people can spend so much money and then when it comes to giving to the Lord, they give him a tip. Now, come on. I give a bigger tip to people serving in a restaurant than some people give a tip to God. Don't tip God, man. Tithe. Give. Because you will be blessed. Come on, can I hear an amen? You will. No problem with God. I've got absolute, when it comes to finances, I've got absolutely no problem because I know that when I'm responsible, I'm held accountable for the finances I have, God always blesses. Can I hear an amen? All right, God will bless you tremendously. I promise you that. Now, listen to this. The third one, of course, is release. Learn to release your finances. The scripture, cast your bread upon the waters and you will find it meant not many days. This is actually Solomon speaking about his ships that go out for trade. He says, man, invest. Go ahead, invest. Sometimes the ships may sink, may not come back. But he says, go ahead because it will come back. Somehow it will come back. Now, We John chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends, right? Now, we all like that scripture. But in verse 14, he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you to do. Then you are my friends. We read the text, Luke chapter 16, 1 and 2. In the same portion, in verse 9, Jesus says something like this. Now listen to this. It's a modern translation. It is important that you use the wealth of this world to demonstrate your friendship with God by winning friends and blessing others. Isn't that important? I like that translation. It is important that you use the wealth of this world to demonstrate your friendship with God by winning friends and blessing others. Amen. So, we can keep singing, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of... Or, we hear God's responses, he ain't no friend of mine. Huh? He ain't no friend of mine. Man, that with the drum beat and everything, the gale goes, it ain't no friend of mine, right? No. He's not telling the truth. He's not a friend. If you do whatever I tell you to do, then you are my friend. Use your finances, your wealth, to demonstrate your friendship with God. This is what Jesus said. So that when you get into heaven, their friends will welcome you. Amen. Win. Which brings me to my fourth point. I'll close with this one. We will be held accountable for our friends. Here are the scriptures that are given to you. Let me put up those scriptures, can't we? You can be sure of this. When the day of judgment comes, everyone will be held accountable for every callous word he has spoken. Your very words will be used as evidence against you. Your words will declare whether you're innocent or whether you're guilty. In other words, you know, sometimes when we read a scripture like this, oh, yo, I cannot joke. Yo, I cannot do this. Yo, I can't. No. That's not what God is talking about. He's talking about when there are opportunities for you to speak for him, speak. Because you use your words to speak for everything else. You talk about everything under the sun except the most important thing, the salvation of the person's life. That's why, you know, we've got these little cards to help you. Say to a friend of yours, you know, God must really love you, man. And they go, why do you say that? Out of close to 7 billion people, God made me your friend. So that I could tell you that God really loves you. God really cares for you. Little card like this, just to say, come on, man, you got to come to church with me. I'm very concerned about your soul. I've done this a few times already to different individuals. Say, I'm really concerned, man, about your soul because God told me to tell you that he really loves you. When was the last time you said that to a friend? When did you share something like that with your friend? So you talk about everything else. Now he's going to hold us accountable. You had a lot of time with your buddies, man. You went out together. You did things together. You did everything except talk about me. And he who is ashamed of me, when I come, I will be ashamed of him before even the angels. Serious words. But we are held accountable for our friends. I'm sure you don't want anybody to go to hell. You don't want to stand on the other side of heaven and then the guy goes, why did you say something, man? Why didn't you say something? Here it is, Ezekiel chapter 33. I'm sure we all know the scripture before, read it many times. You, son of man, are the watchman. I've made you a watchman for Israel. The minute you hear a message from me, warn them. If I say to the wicked, wicked man, wicked woman, you're on the fast track to death, and you don't speak up and warn the wicked to change their ways, the wicked will die unwarned in their sins. I'll hold you responsible. Serious words. Serious words. I'll hold you responsible. So this morning, as we close the year, it's coming to, can I really give a serious account of myself concerning all these areas? If I feel that I failed, this is not to bring any condemnation to you, but to help you understand, hey, this the coming year, man, I better make sure I get things right. Like I said, don't look over your shoulder. What's gone is gone. Don't cry over spilt milk, right? How do I put this? I've said this a few times. Don't let me stand at a funeral service and lie. I want to say that the person has really gone to be with the Lord. Come on. Huh? Now, we as pastors, especially me, I will do anything for my members. Although your loved one is not saved, they want to get married, I'll perform their wedding. You call me when your loved one is not saved, they die, and you want me to say something nice. I can say something nice, but you know how hard it is? When you come and try and ask me to give you the assurance that they are gone when you yourself don't even know whether they're gone to be with Jesus or gone to hell. I can't do that. I'd like to, as a pastor, bring comfort to you, but it's sad. When I really feel in the back of my mind, please don't make me lie. Right? Many years ago, the lady who was sharing her testimony, she's from Germany, and she was just sharing something. She said, we lived in a little town, and the railway line would come, the train would come, and if there were passengers, they would offload passengers, take on new passengers. But if there was none, it would go through. But every time it came near a village, the whistle would blow. And then the German occupation came, the Nazi occupation. And they were now beginning to bring Jews in those trains, coming along. And she said, you know what we did? Every time we heard the whistle, we knew that the Jews were all going to their death. But every time the whistle began to sound, we could hear the whistle, we would sing louder in order to drown out the sound of the whistle. 50 years down the road, she's saying, you know, I can still hear the sound of the whistle. I can still hear the sound of the whistle. As it took so many people away to their deaths, we couldn't do a thing. But friends, we can. We can try to help a friend along the way. Come on, amen. This coming year, we want to believe that at least one person, you can bring one person into the kingdom. Do you know how that would do? You would cause all of heaven to rejoice when one person comes into the kingdom. One person. Just one, Lord. Help me to lead that one person to you. The thrill and the joy of bringing one will cause you to want to reach to others as well. Amen? All right, so we are held accountable. But we thank God there is always another chance that He gives us another coming year. Can I hear an amen? All right? May God help us in this coming year. Let's stand together, shall we? I'm going to get the ushers now. We're going to take up our worship offering again.